Dean Richards now with entertainment news, and now it's Dawson's Creek returning, although this is not a TV show, is it, Dean?
No, it's not. It's not going to be a TV show, but it's going to be everybody from the old Dawson's Creek TV show who are going to be doing a one-night-only performance in New York, a cancer benefit. James Vanderbeek will be there, and Michelle Williams, Katie Holmes, Joshua Jackson, many of the other principals. They are going to do a live reading of the very first episode of Dawson's Creek. The fundraiser is for James Vanderbeek and a nonprofit cancer organization. Last November, Vanderbeek announced that he was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer. Something for which he is still going through treatment. So all the best to him. It's a great idea to raise money. Mm-hmm. Dawson's Creek, of course, was right here on the big number 9 on the old WB, 1998 to 2003.
Yesterday we were talking about John Stamos. Is it official now? He's coming to Riot Fest?
That's what they're saying, that it's a done deal. After a little bit of theatrics that started last week, where the founder of Riot Fest has said that for years he's been trying to get Stamos to show up at Riot Fest to perform in the fictional band that he headed up on the old TV show Full House, Jesse and the Rippers. Stamos said he would think about it if certain demands were met, and they put out this ridiculous list of, you know, super diva-like demands in order for him to consider it. And one of them was for the Riot Fest founder, Riot Mike is his name, to get a John Stamos tattoo, which he did on Tuesday. He posted pictures of it, posted his FaceTime conversation with Stamos, getting it done. Since Tuesday, Stamos has apparently agreed to appear not with Jesse and the Rippers, but as the drummer for the Beach Boys. They're going to be doing a Brian Wilson tribute at Riot Fest, and Stamos is supposed to be part of that as the drummer. That's going to be on September 20th.
I'm confused, too, when I see a Beach Boys concert. Is it Al Jardine? Is it somebody else? Is it Mike Love? Are those two guys speaking to each other?
I think so.
What's going on?
I know for sure Al Jardine is involved in this because he's the one that organized the Brian Wilson tribute.
Oh.
And I think, I shouldn't even say, I think Mike Love is going to be involved in this. I can't imagine that they would do a Brian Wilson memorial and that Brian's cousin, Mike Love, would not be a part of it, no matter what kind of riff that they may or may not be having right now. Set it aside for, you know, a nice memorial for Brian Wilson.
Yeah, well, the lawyers might get involved in that.
Even families do that who hate each other.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And the Museum of Broadcast Communications is opening up again. Dean?
Yeah, this is pretty big news for the museum, which has had several locations over the years. The most recent at State & Kinsey. They moved out of that location some time ago, but this morning, we can exclusively report to you that they will have new digs starting in October. They will be at 440 West Randolph Street. That is roughly Randolph and Canal in the West Loop. And the workers are already, you know, trying to get things ready for this pop-up location, move in some of the broadcast exhibits, Chicago broadcast history, but they've got two new exhibitions which will kick it off. They are going to do a major Johnny Carson exhibit called Johnny Carson, the Centennial Exhibit, which will coincide with what would have been Johnny Carson's 100th birthday. but they will have portions of the original curtain that was behind Johnny when he did his monologue, his desk, his chair, the sofa, backdrop of the iconic stage entrance that people can walk and take photos. So if you're a fan of Johnny Carson, which you can see on our sister nostalgia station, Antenna TV, by the way, you're going to want to check that out. Coinciding with the Carson exhibit will be another exhibit called The Evolution of Late Night Television, which will explore the world of late night from the early days in the 1950s. Steve Allen, Jack Parr, I mean, it goes back that far, all the way up until today. So you'll be able to check all of this out. They're going to have a big benefit and media preview on October 23rd, and then the museum itself will open on October 24th and remain open until January the 27th. Now, it's a pop-up location. A lot of people have been asking me, is this the museum's permanent location? Is this a temporary location? And excuse me, what I'm told is, for now, it is a pop-up location until 2027. There's, you know, funding issues which are involved as to whether or not they stay in that spot or not. So, you know, stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on the latest with all of that. But, you know, I'm happy to see them having, you know, a home again, and, you know, where we can see some of the exhibits. I like to walk through the Bob Surratt hall with all of your...
Yeah, just come into my basement. It's the same thing.
All of your memorabilia.
I'm not a morning person.
Randolph and Canal for now, anyway.
Right.
Morgan Wallen has become the bad boy of country music, sort of. What's going on with him now?
Well, he's also had, you know, pretty much the country album of the year this year. The album called I'm the Problem, which came out last May. But yesterday he announced he will not be submitting the album for consideration for Grammy Awards. He didn't say why he's doing that, but he just said that he's not going to put the album up for Grammy Awards. And some of the songwriters of the songs, they can put their own songs up for nomination. But Morgan Wallen right now is saying he doesn't want any part of it. The nominations for the Grammys come out in November. The award show itself is in February.
And the celebrity lawsuit of the day involves Prince's estate. Who's suing?
Well, it is actually the Prince estate itself that is suing one of the big stars of Prince's movie Purple Rain. Patricia Cotero played the love interest Apollonia in the 1984 film. I thought that was her name, Apollonia, because she's so well known by that. Now she's used the name as a stage name for decades. She's owned several trademarks for Apollonia. She said that she had Prince's consent to do this. And this new lawsuit, which has just come out, is Prince's estate, she says, trying to cancel her trademarks and take the name for itself. If this all goes through, it will likely demand that Cotero stop using the Apollonia name, which would, you know, pretty much destroy her brand. She tours all over the world. Still, and, you know, does a lot of Prince stuff. There's been no comment from Prince's estate on this, but boy, the always controversial world of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Certainly when it comes to music things.
And this just in, we have word from the Broadcast Museum that they need a copy of your Victory Auto Wreckers commercial.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that they build a separate wing of this new pop-up location just for that, where I will be happy to appear with, what's his name, Bob? I don't remember his last name. Bob.
How quickly they forget.
Bob Zied, I think. Zied something. He's the guy with the big watch band who, when he opens the door on the car on the Victory Auto Records commercial, the door falls off.
They'll be lining up to see that again.
He and I think we should go on the road and like do work, you know, make an appearance at the Des Plaines Theater.
Yeah.
You know, just really blow it out. It's broadcast history, my friends.
Yeah. Why don't you test it out there in the WGN-TV backyard on Bradley Place? Let us know. Thank you, Dean. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
See you.
That old car is worth money. I can't.